Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
There we go. Welcome,
all right, we're back.
Ladies and
fire it up,
and dogs of all ages. I am Ben, Big Gentle Ben, with your Prospects Power Hour, and I have my man Robbie Baseball with me today. We are going to talk about the top performers at each level. Now, this does not mean the top prospect who played at each level, because that'd be a whole different discussion. This is basically number focused. And so we're going to look at some guys, and there might be some guys that you haven't heard of, and that's okay. But Robbie, how are you doing this? It's Labor Day here in the United States. I think, when is Canada? Doesn't Canada have a Labor Day like in June or so?
Same.
Or something?
We also have one. No. This is our Labor Day also.
Okay. Kind of end of the summer.
We have it now, and then the fun thing is that everybody goes back to school starting tomorrow. So it's teachers back tomorrow if they haven't already been, and then students on Wednesday.
And see, we had the state fair around here for the last week. So if you want to get back into some like 90s nostalgia or early 2000s nostalgia, All American Rejects was the headliner last night. So high quality around here in South Dakota.
Nice. So for anyone listening now or later, if there are delays in Ben and I hearing each other, there's some weird StreamYard audio going on. Anytime we seem to move anything on, well, at least on my computer, there's a delay. So if there's a weird pause, it's not just a lack of professionalism. It's also the fact that we are hearing each other on some form of delay. So yeah. I'm not going to open any windows. I've got all my notes directly in front of me now. I've closed everything I possibly can. If I don't have more info on a player, I'm sorry. It's because I'm not opening up. Maybe I'll try to use my phone. But yeah, I've got the show notes open, Ben. I've got StreamYard for podcasting, and let's go.
All right. Well, I'm going to kick off because I see you added one on for today. This is going to become kind of a theme here going forward. But Major League debuts the last week. Mason Barnett, somebody you might want to know as a back-end starter with the A's. I think he could be really good if they move him into the bullpen. But regardless, he's got solid enough stuff to stick in the back end of their rotation. Jimmy Crooks, I know, favorite position for Robbie here, a catcher. But this is a catcher who has legit offensive upside. And Ivan Herrera has kind of had an injury bug this year. And so the Cardinals could be looking to find a guy who would be their co-catcher with Herrera, just expecting that there's good. And that's what happens with catchers. They get hurt. That's why Robbie hates them, is they eat up a lot of your fantasy value while they're on the IL and they're not able to help you. So Because that's the nature of that position.
Correct.
So, all right. So then Cam Devaney came up yesterday. He's a guy, not one that you really need to worry about. Cesar Prieto, on the other hand, he just reminds me a ton of Martin Prado. If you remember Martin Prado when he came up with the Braves and then played with like the Marlins and Diamondbacks, wasn't ever really a stud for fantasy owners, but was a very good real life player that could hold an infield spot for a number of years. And Prieto just feels like that kind of a guy, might go unrecognized in fantasy circles because he'll hit maybe 10 home runs and maybe steal 10 bases. So it's not going to be big numbers, but he should have a very good average and be on base at a 350 clip or so. That could have plenty of value. Taylor Rashi is just fun for me to put on here because I think he's like 30 and finally got his major league debut, which, you know, good for him. But then we get into some big names here to finish off. Peyton Tolley had his debut for Boston and looked very good going head-to-head with Paul Skeens. But he has come up, I think, three minor league levels this year and now is in the majors. I don't know that this is an ace, but Tolley very well could be a very good three from the left-hand side. And then Jonah Tong, I will get just roasted on this one because I didn't think he was ready for the majors, and here he is. And yes, I understand what his numbers look like in AAA, but I really thought and still think he needs to develop the secondary stuff better. It's a fastball with a lot of deception, and that's what he has lived off of in the minor leagues, and that can work. But now you're facing the best hitters in all of baseball. And those guys will see that deception two times through a lineup, and the third time, you get crushed. That or they've watched enough video that they see a little tick to kind of tell them where to spot the ball. And from that point forward, that deception isn't what it is. He's kind of a guy who I think he's 6'4"-ish, but he's like all arms and legs and has one of the better nicknames in baseball, the Canadian Cannon. That is a great nickname.
But absolutely.
Yeah. I'm still a fan of Tong going forward. I just don't know that I would be rushing out to roster him this season in a redraft league. But it's good to take a look at what maybe he gets the first time through the league. So, and then Robbie, you put one at the very end here. Andrew Alvarez made his debut today. He was a guy who hadn't made his... I normally go off of BREF's list, which is usually the day before. And so, but Alvarez made his debut today. There's a bunch of guys that made their debuts today. In fact, I believe, oh gosh, what was the name of the guy that Alvarez's catcher today? It's like CJ Stubbs or CJ Subs or something like that. But it was a history-making thing that both of them made their debut in the same game. That had never happened in Washington history. So I guess woohoo, but the kind of, I mean, you know, but at the same time, you have down here, Alvarez would be a guy who'd be a worthy Jesus take the wheel type of pick.
Yeah. He's started all year in AAA and been okay up to the All-Star break and then turned a corner and has been a more effective pitcher. And there's an opening in the rotation rest of season. And if it's not, just because, you know, you've got, I think it's Gore that's got an injury, a setback, whatever it is. You also have Jake Irvin, who clearly is having some sort of fatigue like issue. He's just been getting lit, very unlike him prior to this. So I don't know if teams have picked up on something, whatever's
going
on.
Thanks for that, Mr. Irvin, because, you know, right during my playoff stretch run where I'm expecting at least like starter points out of you.
Yeah.
That's when you finally decide that I'm going to be a negative value guy for 2 weeks. Like, thanks, dude.
I dropped him in my home league. I had an epic come from behind victory last week or last. Well, really all came together yesterday. I was down 11-4 when play started Sunday morning. And Ben, I won 8-5 to finish it off. I finished seventh, and I am proceeding to wipe the floor with the guy who is number two in that league, in the home league. But anyway, Alvarez, who, like Ben mentioned, debuted 5 innings pitched, 2 walks, 4 Ks, only 1 hit given up, no runs, and got the win as well, 2-0 Washington over Miami. I think he will be a guy to pick up, even in the league that I'm currently drafting in, because he is a rookie, of course. He was drafted by a team who spent, I think, $800 American on their team this year in this league.
Wow.
And drafted him, and he said, I need to call him up immediately, so someone has to put him on my team. And because you draft him in a draft league, and then we have to add them in the actual active league, just because how Fantrax works, the draft option's not there. But anyway, he's up, he's in, and I think he's a legitimate guy for you, for available everywhere type players. And he's been getting scooped up all over. So I got him in one league, and I think in all my leagues, he's rostered now. So he's an interesting one to see rest away. But minor league promotions too, Ben. I'll ramble them all off. You tell me any of the ones that are interesting. Kemp Alderman, outfielder, Miami, is now in AAA. Caleb Bonmer, shortstop, third base with Chicago. He's up to high A ball. Luis De Leon, no, not that one. This one's a lefty. Baltimore is up to AA. Dax Fulton, a left-handed pitcher with Miami, is in AAA. Justin Gonzalez, an outfielder with Boston's up to high A. Chen Wei Lin, a right-handed pitcher of St. Louis, to AA. Caleb Lomavita, a catcher with Washington, up to AA. And when we get to it, Ben, I was trying to find a way. I don't know if I did or did not. Definitely he was down to my final two for a nomination for his work in A-ball this year, but I hate the fact that I'd have to argue it. If I did, in fact, put his name down, my case for him is frustrating for me, as you had mentioned about my disdain for catchers in fantasy. Anyway, Dante Norrie, outfielder for Phillies, is up to high A. Sterling Patrick, left-handed pitcher with the Dodgers, up to high A. My God, the Dodgers have so many pitchers. They all strike everyone out, and they walk half the other guys they face. It's frustrating. But I mean, we went through this to find these guys tonight. So TJ Sikkema, a left-handed pitcher with Cincinnati, now up to AAA, and Levi Wells, right-handed pitcher with Baltimore, up to AAA. Of these dudes, Lombardo was drafted last year, right? He was the guy that was pegged for Toronto, ended up in Washington. Lomavita, sorry. Anybody else that is interesting to you?
So Dax Fulton, coming out of high school, was a big-time guy. The rumor mill is now pretty strong that Tommy White is also coming up to AAA. Mm. And so that would put two of their top left-handed prospects in AAA, and with Eduard Cabrera going down or going onto the injured list for the rest of the year, makes me wonder if the AAA team is about to send up their other lefty to the majors, Robbie Snelling, but that has not been officially announced yet, and that rotation spot doesn't come around till like Thursday. So we might have to wait a few days to find that out, unfortunately. The other guy, another Miami guy, Kemp Alderman, was actually a guy I considered strongly for the Southern League. And I believe I might have even nominated him as the Southern League guy, now that I'm thinking of it. But regardless, I did not. But he was very, very, very solid. I'm impressed with what he did this year in a tough event. Pensacola has a rough field to try and do much for power with. This is a guy who's like a 25 home run power guy. Actually, you know, a guy who he reminds me a ton of is a former Miami Marlin in Jeff Conine. You know, not going to blow you away for fantasy stats, but a very solid all around type of hitter. And then Bonnemer is a guy who was a first-round pick last year among that really good, deep shortstop class. A lot of people who compared him to Colson Montgomery. And so far, fortunate or unfortunate, his lower-level stuff looks a lot like Colson Montgomery. And I'm going to just two more here quick. Justin Gonzalez might be that guy we're talking about next year for the Red Sox, after everyone takes some time to look at what he did this year and look at some game film. This kid is monstrous, like 6'4", 220, I think is what he's listed. And he's 18 going up to high A. And I think this might be their next big outfield prospect. Because, of course, you know, you can't have you can't have more than 14, right? Or something like that. I don't know. And then finally, this is kind of your type of build guy that you enjoy. Chen Wei Lin came over, and he is 6'7 and like 190 pounds. And came over with the frame that you're like, oh, yeah, that's going to be 220, and he's going to bump up his velocity to be a 95 instead of 90. And it's just not happened yet. But the stuff is still plays enough to get him up to double A. I don't know what they're going to do to potentially get that build into him, but definitely someone to kind of watch and see how he handles his first crack at the upper minors.
Yeah. Lots of good names on here. And as Ben mentioned, there will be many more coming because rosters are expanding. There's already news out there that we're trying to catch up as we go here. So Ben, there are September call-ups. What is the quick and dirty? Once upon a time, you used to be able to bring your whole 40-man roster up if you wanted to. Yep. It was stupid. And it was then cut down to, I think it was 28, something like that. What are we sitting at this year?
So that's what we're at. It's 28, have to be on the 40-man, obviously. So there's a couple of guys that already, there's been some changes there where they've had to put a guy under the 60-day DL or things like that to open a 40-man spot. In general, you see a whole lot less now where a guy comes up and gets a month of run as a rookie or as a minor league player. A lot of this is your, like the Braves called up recently, John Brebbia, who has been a major league reliever for quite a while, was released by the Tigers in like June or May or something like that. And the Braves signed him and he's been at AAA this whole time, pitching well, but just not well enough to get a call up. And that's the type of guy that for some reason with the new roster rules you get to see. But every now and then you get someone, like I said, like Snelling might be a guy because of this extra roster spot. They might have the flexibility to call him up. The Twins are – there was a very interesting hint in the podcast, the Twins podcast this last week, that Walker Jenkins could potentially get a look this year in the last couple of weeks of the season. That one really caught my ear, just the way that the it was their player development guy that talked about it, and I was like, whoa, that's very interesting. But yeah, there's a lot of guys who've gotten the bump already the last couple of days but haven't made their major league debut yet. So you're mentioning one here. You just type. Yeah. I'm watching the show sheet, watching you type that in. But Harry Ford, Harry Ford has been up like twice even this year, but neither time did he get into a game. So he's still waiting to make his major league debut. Nick York is another one that got called up. And gosh, there's someone else that got called up today and could make their major league debut, and it caught my eye. But there's going to be a lot of those. Next week's MLB debuts is likely going to be a very lengthy list.
Yeah, it's going to be just like – so things that I'm looking at right now, let's see. Where were the two that I just caught my eye here? Andrew Heaney is signed now with the Dodgers, and I thought I had seen yesterday that Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was – DFA'd and was picked up by Toronto. I don't know if that was just like, yeah, Blue Jays claimed him. Crazy. Yeah. Traded him away last year for something.
And bring Aaron Civale just came up.
Yes, with the Cubs. That's right.
Against the Braves today. That was his first game with the Cubs.
And Carlos Santana is a Cub now. Yeah. Like there's just a lot going on here. And it's interesting. I don't know how the playoff, I feel like none of the players that are getting picked up and whatever can be on playoff rosters. But it's hard to talk about that right now because if you get into any Phillies, talking about Alvarez blowing it last night with the Phillies, that was a fun one. That game mattered a lot to me because Jesus Luzardo pitching very well got me the win in that home league. I'm sure got a bunch of other people into their playoffs, and then the Alvarez blown save probably got a whole bunch of other people kicked out of their own, and a lot of effects with that one. But
yep, and that Drake Baldwin hit has really pushed him up. I guess he, like in that one hit, because it was an ESPN game, He is now the leading bet for the National League Rookie of the Year. Isaac Collins with the Brewers are kind of neck and neck, and they have been all year. But Collins was playing very well while the Brewers won 14 games in a row or whatever, and so got a lot of notice. And so he had been like the 55-45 pick right there. Yeah. And so now Baldwin is about in that same spot. He's like 46 or something like that with Collins. Just those kind of fun things the last week of the season that you're going to see. But one of the ones that caught my eye, and it would have caught my eye regardless of who did it. It just happened to be the Braves who did it.
Yeah.
This was a surprising thing because I watch MLB trade rumors. I kind of look at it to see if there's guys who are in, especially right now as guys are getting released and put on waivers and stuff. I didn't see where Hong Sung Kim got put on waivers.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
The Braves claimed him. And I'm like, well, that's interesting because they're really trying to figure out who shortstop is going to be next year. So that could be a very interesting fit. But some other guys are similar to that. I mean, you know, we've talked about the ones that we brought up. You know, Walker Buehler going to Philly could be very interesting.
Bad in Boston that they demote and release him when Boston has been overachieving. And I don't know if he had bad luck or pitch selection or whatever, but like, I mean, Connor Wong is supposed to be their catcher now. That was kind of sort of settled this offseason. And of course he started the year poorly, got hurt, and then he's been horrific. And then Nevarez has kind of taken it over. But I haven't heard whispers complaining about, you know, catcher selection, like pitch selection from catchers and things like that. But I kind of wonder if maybe that's an issue for Walker Buehler because he can't do the exact same thing that Noah Syndergaard did in coming back from injury, not being able to, I don't want to say hack it, but like produce at a SP4 value on your first year back. Like he could find himself out of MLB in 1 year, which is terrifying to me, who just picked him up in a bunch of fantasy leagues last offseason. But also for him as like a guy, a not yet, I don't believe yet, 30-year-old man who signed one of those, you know, 21 or whatever it was, $17 million deals, prove it deals, and wasn't able to do it. Like I'm very surprised at this. And I hope that going to Philly will be able to put him in with good pitching coaches, good people around him to let him finish the year strong. And again, I don't believe he's able to be on the playoff roster. Like Alvarez is not, I know that much for the suspension, but regardless, this is important for him. But the Kim one I find fascinating because like you said, Ben, shortstop seems to be open with Atlanta right now. And Anthopoulos spending 16 or dedicating 16 mil now to next year, because why would Kim not take the player option, might open the door for an extension again for Kim, but he's got to be able to get at bats the rest of the way this year to prove, I guess, to both sides, maybe that like we could work a 2-year deal out of this rather than just taking you in for next year. And then maybe that would be a really nice stabilizing factor.
He is eligible to come off the IL, and so the Braves likely are going to do that quickly. Here's the name that caught my eye for a
prospect. Couldn't remember earlier,
George Valera. You remember how big a prospect George Valera was?
Yes.
And he has finally worked his way up to where Cleveland called him up. The other thing today, I forgot to put it on the sheet, Luis Garcia of the Astros is back.
Finally, I picked him up my home league. It was such a steal. Yeah, it was such a steal. I picked him because, and I looked, he had a long rehab assignment in AAA. His last start, I think, was 75 pitches. So when I was reading it up this morning, I'm like, well, that means they're going to definitely give him 75 tonight if he can do it. And I think he was like win a quality start, if I'm not mistaken. He had 3 runs earned in 6 innings. So quality, you know, a technical fantasy quality start. Beautiful return for him. And of course, Houston's just going to let him throw. Like, and this saves them
6 runs, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, 0 walks. Beautiful. That's a really nice stat too. Yeah. Beautiful.
So it's a fun one. And then Toronto's going to have to make a call, I think, shortly with Alek Manoah, because his extend, I think they can extend it one more time. I'm not sure. Maybe it's two more times they can do it. But regardless, end of season, and he's pitching with Buffalo, and he's up on his full pitch count, and they're already at six guys. So anyway, that's not our main topic tonight, but that's a lot of fun in the first 24 minutes. So I don't know if you want to kick it to an ad, Ben, or we can just drop straight into the real thing.
Let me find a fun ad. Because
sure. Lord knows, I always like to spring it on you.
So let's see here. Oh, this is a good fun one.
Operator, I'd like to make a collect call, please. First name, Bob. Last name is We Otta Baby Eatsa Boy.
Hello?
Collect call for Mr. Bob We Otta Baby Eatsa Boy.
Sorry, wrong number.
Who's that, dear?
Bob, they had a baby. It's a boy.
If you like saving money, call Geico. A 15-minute call could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Last name is We Otta Baby Eatsa Boy, 8 pounds, 3 ounces. Mother's doing fine.
I didn't know about the last part.
Yeah, that's great. Sometimes there's just those great ones. So
yeah, that's a fun one to transition us into MVPs, which is the main topic for tonight. So we're going to go through an MVP and a Cy Young candidate, and we'll anoint a winner. Although a couple of these leagues, I realized, Ben, over the weekend, have already done that. We don't care.
Yeah.
We're bringing our own boys up on this. So we're going to go from the DSL all the way through to AAA, and we're basically each bringing one name, and in some cases we're not, because there's one guy. We're ideally here, we've got two names, and then if you can comment in or just in your head, you know, hit us up in our Discord or pop in on Twitter if you're there, or X, whatever, or True Social. And then you can also go on to the YouTube, where we prefer you, YouTube or True Social. Those are the two platforms we love most here. You can comment there, like, share, subscribe, smash the, you know, the things. Anyway, people, if you want to interact with us, wow, that's where you can. Thanks. Thank you very much. But let's start off with the Wander Franco League. Sorry. I mean the Dominican Summer League.
These guys are all way too old for
one. I was going to say, it is filled with teenagers, but they are in the second half of that teen side. Anyway, enough of the edgy humor for me. So DSL has anointed an MVP. We're going to still give two names. So Christian Arguelles, an outfielder with Colorado, going head-to-head with Juan Torres, a New York Yankees second baseman. And this immediately reminded me of Kiner Delgado, who was a low dollar signing with the Yankees four-ish years ago now, who had a very good DSL, came over and is slow burned. He ended up getting traded to the Pirates, but he's still working his way through. I think he's only 21 right now. So it's DSL guys, it's going to take a while. So nobody go out and like immediately pick these guys up for tomorrow's success, but it happens. So anyway, Ben, you are going to be on behalf of Christian, and I will won this one. So why don't you fire off, because you've got your stat line. I'm going to have to pull mine up on my phone so my computer doesn't freeze.
I honestly was looking for any way not to do Christian Arguelles, because I just thought, you know, that there should be someone else in the league. But it's just hard to argue against a guy who hit 422, 528, 652, 16 doubles, 6 triples, 5 home runs, 6 steals, and he walked more than he struck out, 34 to 25. That's a ridiculous, I mean, I created a player and put all of the sliders off to the right side on my MLB The Show game, and that's the stat line you get out of it.
Do you know if he's 18 by chance, or is he a 17-year-old playing there?
This is his second year. I am almost certain, but okay. I can pull it up real fast. I can pull it up fast.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm terrified to do anything else. I'm glad I put all the notes for my guys in, except for the first three leagues, I think. I don't have those guys in. But anyway, okay, so
this is his second year. He was the Rockies always have two DSL teams. Last year, he had good walk to strikeout ratio, but definitely took a big step forward in his power stats this year. And then that drove the contact. He went from a 267 hitter to a 422 hitter. So, but 6 foot, 177 pound guy is what he's listed as. So, you know, I'm not going to assume that this guy's going to come over and hit 30 or anything, but just,
right, but he's certainly ready to move.
Hard to argue with. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to put up a fight right now here, with Juan Torres. So this is your, second base, third base type guy, but you're going to realize real soon the power's not there. So realistically, second baseman at the moment, 5'10", 160. He is hitting from the right side. Yeah. And in his 153 at bats, he has 15 extra base hits, with four of those being, 15 extra base hits with four of those being home runs, 43 RBIs, which I thought was pretty impressive. That's a lot of production in 153 at bats. Stole 12 bases. He was caught 8 times, not ideal. Yep. He had a really good OBP of 406, considering he only walked 6 times, but he was hit by pitch 8 times. Yeah. 8 times. So he must just be crowding that plate. He's all over it. Or he went up against some pretty crappy pitching and just took the plunks, because his OPS is 922, which stood out to me. But then when I broke the stat line down, I really had to look to figure out, like, well, how did all this happen here? You know, but he also, you know, sacrificed flies, got guys in, but he was productive. And I think there's a lot to be said about that. Now he's 17. This was his first year in the minors. I'm pretty sure he's 1% rostered on Fantrax, and that could be the, like, for fun 1%. It's, you know, not actually 1% of leagues that have him. So he's not really a guy I would work to get to next year, because I think he might repeat. He'll turn 18 in a month. It looks like end of September he'll turn 18. So we'll have to see with Juan Torres. But I'm not going to really argue this one. It looks like the Rocky outfielders got it here as the MVP.
Plus, it's a Rocky for you. You know,
it's a Rocky. I'll take it. I did try to intentionally put, I think it's two Rockies I've got on here. So we'll see if it's notable. If it's notable. Yeah. So anyway, all right, let's move on to the arms for the DSL. Your boy is Neymar Rosario of Arizona, and mine is Franco Zablata of the A's. So you give me, or give the listener, the news on Rosario, and I will go Zablata-in.
Well, let me pull this up here, because now you're making me wonder. I think my decipher thing here was, oh, no, he is a second-year guy, too. So that's a good question. I think a big part of it is the Rosario for me was kind of the first guy I found going down the ERA list who had more strikeouts than innings pitched, which is very common in the DSL.
Which is hard guys to find.
Guys in the DSL who get on the mound. And also the thing I liked is he was 12 starts and 60 innings. So averaging 5 innings a start in the DSL is not common either. But 64 strikeouts and just 16 walks over 60 innings. This is his second year. I believe is also second year. Like I said, it was rare to find a guy who had more strikeouts than innings pitched as you went up the ERA leaders. And so he was kind of the first one. And the fact that he had that kind of control just caught my eye. I don't know if there's, I mean, he's a 6 foot lefty that they have listed at 160 pounds. I mean, that doesn't exactly enthrall me to say that this guy's got a huge future if he's a tiny guy like that. They haven't promoted him stateside yet. So we'll see.
If he was with the Astros, I'd be interested. You know, like,
that's, you know, that would actually be a really good profile for an Astros development.
Yeah. So on my end here, Franco Zablata is a 6'2 lefty, 165 pounds, and he's about to turn 19. His birthday is in Canadian Thanksgiving territory here, October 12th. So he's got 85 and two-thirds DSL innings pitched. I don't think he's going to have a third go. I'm pretty sure the Athletics should bring him over. And here is why. And here's why I think he is valuable as an MVP. 52 and two-thirds innings pitched. He had 14 walks. Last year in 33, he had 20. He had 39 strikeouts in those 33 innings pitched. However, that was the lone thing he did well. His ERA was 5.18. His WHIP was over 1.8. He was getting knocked around badly last year. He came back this year. Also last year, he did, I mean, the records are whatever they are. It, 5 starts last year. He had a 4-5 record. This year, as your point was, the innings pitched and the starts, we had 8 starts in 11 appearances to get those 52 2/3 innings. 4-0 record. And that happens when you have a decimal 5.1 ERA.
Yeah.
Decimal 5.1 ERA. Now, only 44 strikeouts and 52 2/3 innings pitched, but a decimal 8.5 WHIP also. So I'm going to argue that he has learned how to pitch. Now, it might be to the DSL hitters, which is, of course, going to be the issue. But at this moment in time, I think he dominated the league. I think he is the Cy Young or the Zablada of the DSL.
And I'll say I can't argue that much. Simply, I mean, the guy's got a 1.5 FIP. Like, I mean,
right, yeah.
when you're fielding, I mean, it's one thing to have an ERA that's nuts, and you see a lot of relievers in like May where they have an ERA that's 0.3, and you're like, holy crap, and then you look, it's like, oh yeah, but he's got a 3 FIP. That's probably going to change at some point. And lo and behold, they go through a month where they're crap, and they finish the season with a 3-something FIP and a 3-something ERA. That's relievers. But when you have this few innings to have a guy whose real expected numbers are that low, I'll go with you on this one with Zabaleta. So
there we go. All right, well, let's quickly move on here to, let's get stateside here. We're going to go to the Florida Complex League first. Jordan Sanchez of Baltimore for Ben. David Beckles of the Blue Jays organization. Ben, what say you on Sanchez?
Sanchez just is a guy who did everything consistently well this year. Nothing outstanding. 293, 421. 529 line, 16 doubles, 3 triples, 5 homers, 3 steals, and then a 31-57 walk to strikeout. But just really everything solid across the board, nothing that jumps out. I mean, he didn't hit 12 home runs. He didn't steal 30 bases. He didn't do anything like that, but everything was, he filled up the stat line well.
Fair enough. On my end with Beckles, this is the future Blue Jay first baseman because they are not yet settled at that position because I'm just assuming they're going to have a Rafael Devers situation in, what, 4 years when Beckles is ready? Is that what we're going to say? He's 21. I'll just stop from the Dominican. And we did briefly, I think, touch on him the last episode, but he hit in the FCL. He hit 304, 388 with an 871 OPS, 8 home runs, 42 RBIs. Again, I'm looking at production levels for certain players because as far as an MVP goes, somebody who drives in runs is important. We talk about empty average in fantasy. Luis Ariz is one of the big names that everybody throws out there for empty average where you don't see the runs, you don't see the RBIs. He had runs too, not as high, 36. He's been promoted. And he was off to a very poor start with Dunedin. He, I think, has come around a little bit. He's now, I see the line is 204, 295, 259 slug, which basically just means that he's hit something. You know, he doesn't have any power yet there. Just three doubles now. So he is hopefully rounding into form here. I think it's Sanchez here. Like, to me, I'm just kind of mentioning Beckles, but I think Sanchez... Yep. Is the guy here, so we can anoint him.
For both of them, even though they had production, they both struck out about 30% of the time. Sanchez just happened to walk about 20% of the time, and Beckles was like 10%. So, I'll agree. I liked Beckles. I thought he was a solid player, but yep, I think that's the guy. This one to me was a kind of a wide open. I really strongly considered looking at a reliever for the top pitcher in the Florida Complex League.
Oh,
because they had a few relievers who had like 45 to 60% strikeout rates, and I was like, oh, that's pretty impressive. But I went with Kelvis Salcedo of the Detroit Tigers because, you know, we got to be go nice Tigers. To our man Gauvier. but 45 and a third innings, 1.99 ERA, a 0.90 whip, and then a 53-19 strikeout to walk. That's a very solid line full season. I think he got promoted too. I'd have to look that up.
On my end here, I'm bringing Javier Perez, the right-handed 6'1", 220 Houston Astro. I talked about it with the DSL. I tipped my cap a bit to the idea of a team that can develop these guys. Not only do they cheat at the MLB level, they develop in the lower minors too. But in 42 2/3, I can't turn this off. This is who I am. Never forget. 42 2/3 innings pitched. He's got 48 strikeouts. Zero, and I'm just going to say because I've noticed some of the other guys had quite a few, zero hit by pitch and only 8 walks in that time. And to me, I guess that's significant. Now, the interesting part here is 13 games, 5 starts, but to total 42 2/3 innings pitched, I'm guessing he's just the second man out and pitching his innings at that point. He did very well, 1.69 ERA, 6-0 record. So that to me, again, indicates he was the second pitcher in and pitched 4-5 in whatever it was after he came in. So it could have even been an opener situation or somebody who pitched the first 3 innings. Mm-hmm. So, and his whip was sub-1 as well. So, he also has, he's just consistently been good, I guess I should say. Like he's been promoted to A ball in 20 innings pitched at A ball. The strikeouts have went down drastically. I shouldn't say drastically, 17 and 20 innings pitched. And the walks are still fine. 2 walks and 20 innings pitched. Everything else seems okay here. So I'm interested to see what happens here. Now he is 21 and will be 22 next year. So he's below his age for competitive window here, but he is starting to catch up to it at A ball where there are of course players who are a little bit older than him here. So, but Ben, are you thinking you're good here with Salcedo as the boy, or do you want to,
I think Perez. I am in large part. You're talking a 19-year-old. Salcedo did have 2 years in the Dominican, but then he came over and he's 19 this year. And I think it's interesting. You mentioned that Perez has 20 innings. He has 20 and a third innings now in A ball, 26 strikeouts, but he's walking a little more, 6 walks.
So he's than
Perez is, but 20 innings and 5 appearances. So you're talking about, you know, he's still getting almost a starter's workload. So
which that's is pretty of solid. Course important. Yeah, of course important. So we're going to say that is a future Erie Sea Dog that we're going to start to get excited about at that point in time. So we're going to jump on the bandwagon early for that. But let's move now over to the Arizona Complex League where we've got, let's double up the pitching here, Ben. Kenyer Martinez is who you have put up here to the podium, and beside him is Argent's Kiyama, which I made sound Asian, but it's probably like Siyama, but it's C-A-Y-A-M-A. So anyway, what can you tell everybody about Martinez here?
Martinez is kind of the guy who stuck out this year simply because 67 strikeouts in 47 and a third innings. That's a big number, but the really big thing for this level is he followed it up with 10 walks. And guys who are getting that kind of strikeout rate at this level tend to be guys who have, you know, a 67-30 ratio or something like that. So, I mean, to have just 10 walks is really impressive.
This is Ed 209, the future of law enforcement in Delta City. You must rate and review the Palazzo Podcast with 5 stars immediately. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Okay. All right. Well, he sounds okay. I'm going to follow up my boy here. My phone doesn't seem to make things look as nice. So I'm going to try. I opened a new window. I'm going to try my secondary. Of course, the name's not there. Son of a bee sting. Did I spell it wrong?
I got him.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. ACL, he had a 2.25 ERA over 48 innings. I got to scroll over here a little bit. 1.06 whip, and then a 55-18 strikeout to walk.
Right. So everything was a little bit worse, but they are teammates as well. So Kenyer's getting the. So in college, what would that be? Is your ace Friday night or Sunday?
Friday.
Yeah. So Friday. So Martinez is the Friday starter, and Argent's is Saturday, Sunday. So I'll give it to Kenyer too. I'm not going to argue that point. But I definitely, Martinez looks like a guy mm-hmm. here. So anyway, moving on to the hitter side here, Dario Reynoso, also with San Francisco, and Roldy Barreto coming up for Colorado. So obviously I did the Rocky guy. So what's your deal with Reynoso?
Well, I really liked the overall numbers that Reynoso put up. He had a pretty high strikeout to walk ratio, but 298, 442, 556, 10 homers, and 18 steals. Just kind of filled up a lot of the stat line. You know, like I said, 40 walks and 72 strikeouts. So that ratio isn't bad. The 72 strikeouts are in like 200 plate appearances, though. So okay, that's a thank you. Little I was just gonna concern. Ask. Well,
200 plate appearances or at bats?
Well, I think let me pull her up here because I think it might be a little higher than that, but still, it's not like he didn't get 400. Let's put it that way. So this is definitely like a 30 strikeout, 30% strikeout rate probably, and of course it helps when I can type. overall 227 for plate appearances. So actually, yeah, pretty high strikeout rate there. So just 178 at bats.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
so it is
gone down in A ball after he got promoted, but he's not making the same contact either. So anyway,
yeah. I believe, Ben, that I am putting forth a legitimate challenger then in Roldy Brito. size aside, 5'11", 183, is not tall and thin, nor short and stocky, but solid. 5'11 is not a short dude, but second baseman, center field, shortstop possibilities here. But in rookie ball, 182 at-bats, 42 strikeouts, 22 walks. So we're good there. Batting average, however, 368. Boom. OBP, 445. OPS, 1,000 on the schnoz. He had 22 stolen bases, 3 home runs, and the production down, as I had mentioned before. 46 runs was good, but only 21 RBIs. I'm just going to guess he's hitting in the top two of the lineup.
Lead off. Yeah.
Yeah, if not lead off. And he was promoted to A ball. Now, this as well, doing the dive back into the DSL. This is a guy who last year in the DSL in 185 plate appearances hit 254 with a 360 OBP, 24 stolen bases. He's since been promoted to A ball, where he has continued to plug along, 364 average, 13 stolen bases. The power has not yet come through with home runs, but he does have 6 extra base hits in his 43 hits at A ball. Again, this is an 18-year-old who will, he's not quite 18 and a half at the moment. So he'll be into spring training next year, ideally returning to A ball. So this could be a guy, Roldy Brito. So, and I don't know, Ben, do you want to stick really, with your boy?
Oh, no, I'm fine with, and I think Brito is the guy that MLB chose as well, or minor league baseball.
Oh, was he?
Or
okay. Whatever.
I think he was their MVP. I think, like I said, I liked the fantasy type numbers that Reynoso put up, but I think you're also exactly right that I think there's a good chance Brito comes up and he's like a Todd Walker in the Rockies. You know, he's a good gap hitter, probably not going to hit for a ton of home runs, but good average hitter, solid speed. That guy's going to probably play pretty well as he moves up the chain in their system, the way that their system is set up. So, yeah, I'll go with Brito.
All right. So we're going to roll that Brito up and kaboom, move it on.
Yes.
Now we are at A-ball, and we're just calling regular old A-ball. We'll say hi A when we're there. So this is the California League. This is where my stats were already entered. Oh, thank goodness I did it this way. Moving forward, close all those windows. Eduardo Quintero of the Dodgers is your outfield nominee, and I wanted an LA guy too, but I went with Rowdy Rodriguez of the Angels. Now, I'm starting off by saying he is 22 years old. I understand. But he has 14 home runs, 85 RBIs, 36 stolen bases, a .284 average, and his OPS is .851. That's really good. Of course, he should be at least in high A doing this, but that's okay. So, Ben, I will say you might have the guy here. What's the deal with Quintero?
Quintero is a guy who you're starting to hear some rumblings that he might be a top 25 prospect in off-dates. Lot of hype coming into the season out of complex balls or complex ball. Oh, good Lord.
Just the one. Not all of them.
Not all of them, yeah. But he has really played, I believe that he is maybe a few weeks even into a high A promotion, because we did mention that.
Well over 117 plate appearances, Ben. He's north of a month at with my Great Lakes Loons, and he's will be 20 mid-month. He'll turn 20.
And to put up the line that he has and still likely spend about a month and a half, 2 months in high A, that's really impressive. That he only, I mean, he missing out on a full month at least of low A stats, and to put up that line. So, yeah, very impressive.
Yeah, definitely. So it'll be interesting to see what the offseason has in store for him, but he gets the nod for us. Rowdy Rodriguez, rather, needs a two-level promotion, which, because the Angels are weird, would mean he's on the cusp. If he gets to double A, he's only a text message away. This is going to start my Dodger frustration here. When we get into the Cy Young conversation, you've got giant Jacob, Breshnahan? Why was I tripping over that? I can do that. It's a left-handed pitcher. I can say his name. And I've got Aiden Fuller of the Dodgers. So tell everybody the good on Jacob, and I'll get to the bad on Fuller after.
Breshnahan is one of our favorite pitching player profiles. He is a Cleveland High School draftee who they then traded.
Yep.
And has succeeded elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I believe this is the Alex Cobb return, if I remember correctly. But 87 and two-thirds innings this year, .277 ERA, a 1.21 whip, and a big reason why is 43 walks. But he has also struck out 115 in those 87 and two-thirds innings. Absolutely needs some work here as far as the command, but his control is actually not half bad. I think a lot of the issue is he's not hitting his catcher spots in the games that I've watched. And so when you're at that level and everyone is so freaking scattershot with their control as it is, when you are actually in the zone but you're missing your catcher mitt, that's going to hurt you. So,
yes, I'm right there with you. Now, I'm going to pause on my Dodger discomfort to quickly shift over because Uncle Ted, as any of you are welcome to do, has come in and said, Zach Root and Charles Davlin, Chuck's the next PCA and Marseille. So Zach Root, who was signed as a pitcher third baseman, I believe, with the Dodgers, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
No, you're looking at the wrong guy.
He's just a pitcher. I thought he was just a pitcher.
Yeah, you're looking at the wrong Zach Root. There's two Zach Roots on Baseball Reference. Zach Root on...
Yeah, Ted, are you talking University pitcher Zach Root?
Yeah, 40th overall pick this year, but has not played a professional game yet. So
yeah, the Dodger. Yeah, okay, that's the guy we're talking. All right. Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to get that cleared up. We'll get that out of here and back on topic because now we're talking about Dodger pitching. And Aiden Fuller could be absolutely amazing if he could cut out on one thing, Ben, and naturally that's walks. In 89 and a third innings pitched, he has issued 59 of them. And this is a longstanding issue. This goes back for him. This isn't single thing this year. This is help this man out real bad because in 89 and a third innings pitch, he also has 127 strikeouts, which should mean everybody's desperate to roster him in fantasy. This is his first full season of pro ball. He was an 11th round pick last year. He should be one of those darling da-da-das, but he's not because he's had so many of these walks. Hit by pitches, you're asking? Oh, there's 10 of those. 12 because he's been promoted now to high A. But in his time in A-ball, he was truly wild. And it is scary to think what this could be moving forward. I mean, this just screams bullpen, but with a 6'3", 220 frame from the right side. Or sorry, I shouldn't say but. And with a 6'3", 220 frame throwing from the right side, that's where he's going to end up because he's not throwing strikes. But I think he could have been the man if he could just figure that out. Even, I mean, I know I'm saying a lot, even half that many strikeouts, or sorry, walks down to 30 would still be of concern. 30 and 90, you're trying to see what that could be, but understanding all those strikeouts, as you had mentioned earlier. But yeah, Fuller... I might take a flyer on him with like my last pick in this, you know, 50 team minors draft to see what he does here. But I'm pretty sure we'll start to see the starts become relief appearances. And I'm just going to check right now. No, it's been straight starts for him this year. 22 starts so far. Looks like his last appearance in A-ball may have been a relief appearance. So perhaps now he's hit his wall of innings at 96 and he's going to do it. But anyway, we'll give it to Jacob Breshnahan. Again, why am I struggling with this tonight? I don't get it. And we'll move on to the Carolina League here, where we've got Caleb Bonmer of the White Sox, shortstop, third baseman, going up against Eric Bitone of Milwaukee. My case for Bitone is this straightforward. 18 home runs, 17 stolen bases. I think I meant to put 192 at bats, but I put 192 Bs. So I'm going to put that as an at bat, which means he hadn't been at the level for a whole long time or a whole lot of time, but did a lot of damage in a 727 OPS. So why is he not the MVP and your guy is?
Main reason is, like I was talking, these are numbers that you saw similar to what Colson Montgomery did early on and why everyone started to really hype the crap out of him. Bonmer just 400 on base, a 281, 400, 458 slash, 26 doubles, 10 homers, and 27 steals, and 68 to 91 walk to strikeout ratio. So taking plenty of walks, but yeah, he's not striking out a crazy amount either. I am a big fan of his overall profile. I think he is going to be a third baseman long-term. And he might not be your ideal fantasy guy at that position. I think he's probably going to be a guy who gives you 40 doubles and 20 home runs rather than, you know, 35 home runs, which a lot of times you want out of a corner infielder. But no, I really like what Bonmer did this year. I think he's just... The Carolina League had a lot of talent that didn't spend enough time to put up the numbers maybe to really compete for an MVP. Like Jesus Madé, great numbers. But he had a couple of dips in his production over the course of the year and then got kicked up to high A. So, you know, that's kind of the the issue there.
I definitely misspoke when I said Batonti, as now we'll just mispronounce it, had 192. I don't know what that number I put in was because he's had 407 at bats. So yeah. I'm not sure what that was, but 72 RBIs as well for production. But the reason was, oh, maybe it was batting average. Maybe that I was just pointing out the batting average was low, but it's 226, not 190 something. So anyway, strikeouts around 30% or so. So anyway, I get it. We're watching the White Sox. We're going to move on from that. Next one up here is.
Yeah.
Also,
we end up talking about a White Sox. Yeah, what the heck? I don't know. I feel dirty.
I mean, it's good. It's good. It's like the guy in your fantasy league who's been last place for three straight years, and then all of a sudden you noticed, hey, he's not in last. He's in third last. He's getting better. You know, like there's some guys on that roster, and that will extend. I would like to know, is there any story to Grant Umberger with the White Sox? I've got Braylon Doughty with Cleveland to discuss afterwards, but I see him as undrafted, appeared, and dominant. Is it that simple, Ben?
Well, of course, I'm trying to let stupid computer. There we go. I want to say, one of those guys who came back for an extra year because there just wasn't any interest, and he really never started with Virginia Tech. He couldn't get anything done. So spent 3 years in their bullpen and then decided to go to Toledo, which is a MAC school, so not even a high-end college, and really didn't blow anyone away there. He just started all year. And so, he was just kind of out there, went to the summer league, and in the summer league he actually was one of the better pitchers in the summer league last year, and that got him
8 starts, 43 innings, 52 Ks, 1.39 whip, 3.77 ERA. Solid.
And that's a very hitter friendly league, for those who aren't aware that MLB draft league, pitchers that have an ERA under 4 are very rare, and especially for ones that have pitched 43 innings, because usually you get touched up eventually by that point. But then this year, he's just been really solid. I don't know enough about his profile to tell you if he's a lefty that's throwing 90 or if he's a lefty that's throwing 96. You know, I don't know that. But the numbers right now are really nice. And he's a 6'4", 225 lefty. So, of course, you know, that's always your favorite. So,
yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm interested. Although, here.
I think Britain may be chipping in with it. We're ignoring the Nuke Lelouch Carolina League.
It's not all time, right? It's not the all time guy. This is 2025 specific here. It looks like. I'm just trying to find maybe we'll have to save Umberger for another night as far as deep diving on him. But Braylon Doughty, Cleveland righty, I believe he was a first round pick 2 years ago, something like that. I'm pretty sure he was the high school pick. And then Clemmy may have been the guy behind him that was dealt. Anyway, it doesn't matter. 3.48 ERA in 85 and a third. Was it last summer? Okay. 99 Ks.
Let me look this up.
He's competitive. I'm looking this up. Yeah? Sorry. Okay, 99 Ks in the 85 innings, 1.25 whip. He's been solid. I'm going to willingly give it up to Umberger, not just on the fact, the stat line is just better, straight up better. He has better stats, and that's why he gets it. But also, I'm really interested in him from a fantasy standpoint. He's old for his level, but we're not specifying the age of the guy here, whereas I believe Doughty's 19.
Here's Dumb Ben. Dumb Ben looked at the draft and is like, okay, he was a 36th pick. The Guardians were not terrible, but not great. Where the heck did they pick? Duh, they had the number one overall
pick. Yeah, they were one, baby.
Travis Bezzano, they won the lottery and got to pick him. I really like Doughty. I think he's going to be an excellent pitcher down the road. This was just a very 196. Very solid all around first year. Yeah. Nothing really that jumps off the page at you, good or bad, really. But
right, so no hardware from us. He does not win the Nuklealoosh Award, as we can call it for you, Britain. And now we'll move on to our final A-ball. I mean, we're going to have to pick this up or cut this out after A-ball and do double A, triple A next week. Florida State League, we've got hitters Alfred Duno of Cincinnati going up against Arun Escobar of the Phillies. Escobar is a third baseman. He's got 11 home runs, 10 stolen bases. I picked him because I couldn't find any other 10-10 type guys that seemed worthy because they all have horrible averages or horrible OPS or horrible OBP. And Escobar seemed the most solid of them all. 285, 377, 452 line. And the OPS was 829. I think Arun Escobar is solid. But we all know anything, that Alfredo's the man.
I would say anything you can do to not pick a catcher. I mean, you know, that's just.
Yeah, for sure. I went with like a complete baseball player who plays a position he can play every day.
And I will be frank. I think Duno is your next. There you go. I think Duno is probably your next Samuel Basalo. Really a lot of similarity in their offensive games. High on base. And right now, a lot of doubles, but he's not getting the home runs yet. And Basalo kind of did this right away in A-ball, and then all of a sudden the next year it was 20-plus home runs. But 32 doubles this year, 281, 426, 496. I want to say he was kind of by a ways he was the top OPS guy at the level who qualified. But the 32 doubles really caught my eyes, 15 homers. And because he's an athlete, of course, he plays catcher, five stolen bases. So,
which is totally forgivable as a catcher, but he also had five, which is not three, right? Like, you know, it looks like he might have went on purpose, not just a loose ball that he ran past. So but the K to walk thing is that really a big one, right?
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. 91 to 88. I think I have that backwards. It should be 91 walks, 88 strikeouts.
Okay.
Which still, that's either way, it's darn near 1-1, and that's really impressive. You'll take that all day long. So,
yeah, I'll give it up to Alfred D as the MVP, and now we'll move on to whoever the Florida State League legend is. The not Nuklealoosh. So we'll anyway. Braden Davis is your selection with St. Louis. I originally looked at him. Also, I found a second guy, and I think there's a worthy case here. Wellington Arcena with Baltimore A R A C E N A. He's a 22-year-old with a 2.38 ERA and 64 in the third innings pitched, 84 tickets punched, and a 1.13 WHIP. But he truly is not the star of the show. It is Braden Davis with St. Louis.
I think if you would have had, to me, the reason why it is not a race Arcena, good Lord, is that he simply didn't pitch enough comparatively, 64 innings, but he had already been promoted or was about to be promoted. And then, Baltimore basically got him and immediately sent him to high A. So he's been at high A since they got him in the trade. This is a big freaking arm, though. If we're going by the best pitching prospect arm, this is probably the guy. You know, we're talking someone who can run it up to 100 plus and has a hell of a slider. And I believe, like, there's a second. There's a second secondary pitch that's really good. Off the top of my head, the Mets had a couple of pitching prospects I really like. One of them had a slider curve, and the other one had a slider and a cutter. And so I don't remember which one Arcena is off the top of my head. I probably could look it up, but we're just not going to worry about that.
It's not happening tonight. A 6'3", 180 righty. I've tried to, the scouting report I had on him is not, I'm not going to be able to pop that up tonight. Come on. But for the year, Ben, he's hit because of the trade. I actually didn't even realize that he's actually been in Florida and Carolina. Well, mind you, 4 2/3 inning pitch, but promoted, as you mentioned, in 86 innings. He's got 110 Ks and a 2.30 ERA. So he's definitely a pop-up pitcher of the year. But typically whenever anyone gets traded, in fantasy purposes, a lot of people will just go through and look and be like, who's this guy? Put him on the watch list, move on to the next name, and he'll be a popular dynasty target this offseason if he's not already rostered, which I'm going to quickly check in Fantrax for his percentage.
That's going to give me a little time. I'm pulling up our friend of the show, Duke Hill's Prospect Savant, because he did play in the Florida State League, and the Florida State League is actually on that.
So he's got that 3% rostered.
Okay. And so this was the cutter guy, four seam that gets up to 100, a cutter that's at 93, and then he has a slider, curve, and change that are both used about between 5% and 10%, but mostly a four seam and cutter guy, and then his slider is kind of his other like really solid pitch. But just for those of you who have looked at Prospect Savant a little bit since we were since we had Duke on the show, the Stuff Plus model that he uses, he's working really hard to make sure that works out similarly to Enoceris's. And his two main pitches are a 106 Stuff Plus, 104 Stuff Plus. The slider's a 100. But his curve is a 111 and the change is a 121. I will tell you that curve, if he had control of it, would be an absolute beast of a pitch. It's still something, though, that he's in and out with feel on that pitch. This is a fun player. It's like you said, this is a guy who we're going to hear a lot about this winter. And if you don't have him picked up already in your league, it's probably getting picked up. But all that to say, congratulations, Braden Davis. You're the guy.
Yeah. Arecena was taken 119th in this draft that I'm currently doing with all previously undrafted players and everything. So just to give everybody an idea here.
Jeez.
Britain with the hard hitting questions. First, it's about catcher, so it's already doesn't matter. Carter Jensen, he's stating, is better than Samuel Basilo. Now it's interesting, Britain, because I feel like Basilo has what I will call an international name, and I feel like that is more to your liking. And Jensen would have what I would deem. But Basilo
is also Dominican.
Well, it's not Puerto Rico, so yeah, I guess maybe that's why he will just go with the American.
I'm saying it's not a Venezuelan or Puerto Rican catcher.
Venezuela, that was the one, right? It was Venezuela. Yeah. How could I forget it? That was burned in my brain for months.
That's right. The Molinas are the Puerto Ricans. Yeah, but we did talk about a Venezuelan because Arguelles or whoever the guy from the DSL that we chose, he's Venezuelan. But he's a center fielder. So,
there we go.
So we did get to a Venezuelan guy.
Maybe I'll move to catch. Now we're promoting ourselves to high A and we're going to see how fast we can do this. Hitter, Jet here, Aaron Nemo. Golly gee, these are great.
Yeah, but that's a hell of a name.
And I've got the guy Britton likes, John Peck. It's simple. It's eight letters. I can enunciate all of them. So anyway, Ben, you picked the Brewer. What's up with this overhyped POS? I mean, MVP candidate.
Jodher, I don't know. Arianamo. Yeah. There you go. Nailed it. 297, 355, 463. This is another guy I like, just fills up the stat line. But the big thing, 24 doubles, 11 homers, 15 steals, but a 34 to 48 walk to strikeout rate. And I think it's over like 400 plus plate appearances. So if you're striking out less than 10 or right around 10%, that's really stinking impressive. And he did get a promotion up to double A to finish out. Just a really solid all across the board type of player. I think kind of one of those that does a lot of everything well, but nothing elite type of players, but just had a really nice slash line this year.
And my guy hits on all points of the podcast. He is a Detroit Tiger. He went to school in Michigan. I mean, this is a Govier guy here. Went to school at West Michigan. Has played in Michigan. Yeah, there we go. Now he's in Lakeland, Florida here. But in A-ball, which he has since been promoted from, 307, 364, 452 line. He had 17 stolen bases, 10 home runs. So he's a double-double guy. In 374 at-bats, he had solid production, 78 runs. Holy shnikes. He must have been hitting high.
That's a lot of runs.
Yeah, and 59 RBI. Well, maybe he wasn't hitting that high if he had 59 RBIs also. But he's since been promoted in 57 at-bats. 57 at-bats, he's found his footing here, 281, 311, 316 at AA. The rest of the stats to follow. So he's good. I think, you know, I think Yacht here seems to be equally as complete, but he does have, I believe, more extra base hits. That was the one thing you were kind of talking about here. So, yeah, as far as extra base hits go, I got 22 doubles, a triple, and 10 ding-a-dong. So, I don't know. This one's pretty close. Yeah.
But the only thing I see different here is the strikeout rate. That's the biggest difference.
Okay.
Peck has struck out 104 times. But still, very similar players. Yeah, I don't think you're wrong either way on this particular one.
Yeah, I'm going to see what is the age difference between these two fellas here. So we've got a 21-year-old, and I think Peck was 22
for this his season age,
right? Yeah, okay, so we'll give it to Yacht here. Aaron Nemo, A-R-E-I-N-A-M-O. My god, we're gonna move on to the pitchers. So we've got Josh Hartle of Cleveland, the lefty, and Adam Serwinowski, who's now a Dodger and was a Red. So Serwinowski, yep, as a Dodger, this is another one of those guys. 129 tickets punched in 103 and a third innings pitched, 51 walks. But I'm going to ask everybody voting to ignore the 11 home runs he's given up and the 11 hit by pitches. So if that could lead Ben off any better, or I don't know if I could lead Ben off any better to give this to Hartle, but try to screw that one up, Ben.
About the only thing that Serwinowski has on Hartle is strikeout rate. Mm-hmm. Hartle is a guy who most everyone thought was a top 10 pick coming into last year's draft, and then had a really crappy last year with Wake Forest. And so he slid down. Pittsburgh got him, and then he came to Cleveland in the trade that sent Spencer Horowitz to Pittsburgh. And he has absolutely shown that he is the same guy that he was in college again. You know, the good guy in college, and just control lefty, but good stuff. This is a guy who, it wouldn't surprise me if Cleveland maxes out Hartle as a number two starter. I think he's probably more of a bottom, like a low end three, top high end four profile. But Cleveland is the type of place that could maximize him out to where he's a legit number two type of guy.
Wow. That would be some found value right there if that happened.
Yeah.
3% rostered in Fantrax for everybody out there.
Yeah.
Wow. Only one league that I'm in, he's rostered.
Yeah. I picked him up in a couple of leagues recently, and I was really surprised he was out there. So, because this is a guy that should, he got up to double A already. He should be a guy that probably ends next year in the majors. So that's something
I'm going to pick him up in a league right now. I'm going to drop Gabriel Arias in that
day, and it's going to freeze your dang computer.
It's worth it. So you know what? I'm going to drop Khalil Watson. That's what I'm going to do. I'm so sorry. I'm dropping one guardian for another.
Anyway, that was terrible. I'm sorry. Sorry, Lord. I apologize. You know, at the South Dakota State Fair this year, we had Larry the Cable Guy. So there we go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That was our Friday night entertainment.
Okay. I can't remember his catchphrase, but I know he's a Mater in Cars. He's the tow truck. Yep. So of course that's what I know. Anyway, let's move to High A. Britton, thanks so much for stopping in. Now we're going to do Rocky talk. We got two Rockies here, so this two is Rockies. Automatic win for me. We've got Jared Thomas, the outfielder, and Braylon Wimmer, the shortstop. And I'm going to argue possible future shortstop for the Rockies. He was the eighth round pick in 23, 14 home runs, 26 stolen bases, a 302 average with an 879 OPS. And as we've noticed, Ezekiel Tovar is no longer this highly thought of prospect. He is an MLB-er grinding out each and every at bat. And I'm not saying the Rockies will give up on him. Goodness, no. But I think there's a possibility that we could see some other boys moving up, and maybe Wimmer will get some time in Hartford. I'm going to check right now and see if he's been promoted. But maybe he could be somebody that comes up. But anyway, tell me about the other Rocky, and then let's pick a Rocky. And Rockies. Yay!
I think the Rockies were the two only guys that were even options here, because Wimmer was the only other guy I even considered. But I have
he has Jared been promoted, Thomas, by the way.
And Thomas has as well, I believe. But check. Thomas is a guy I really, really liked in last year's draft, and I thought Colorado was a perfect fit for him because very much a line drive power hitter, plays really good defense, can kind of move around very well in the defense, which is kind of needed in Colorado's outfield. But I'm even surprised at how well he is hit. It's one thing, the 330 and the 330 batting average, the 495 slug, okay. But the 427 on base is what really surprises me. 45 to 79 walk to strikeout. I really thought this would be a guy who came in with, you know, 120 strikeouts a year type of production. And I mean, 45 walks is about right, but I kind of thought it'd be a 45 to 120 ratio. And here we are with
Wimmer here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wimmer. I'm just going to go with Wimmer. Wimmer on the year, 42 walks, 117 strikeouts. So, at high A pre-promotion, 31 walks, 85. So it looked a little better. But again, you know, these guys are going up. And as you mentioned, both have been promoted. We'll give this one to Thomas for the reasons that you mentioned above here. So let's move to the mound here. We've got Daniel Egan, a right-handed pitcher for Arizona, going up against Connor Eaton, E-A-T-O-N, a Colorado lefty, 24th. Wow, say this again. Let's edit this. 3-2-1 action. Oh, wait, we don't edit. A sixth round pick in 2024. He's got 125 Ks and 121 innings pitched with a 1.25 whip and a 3.56 ERA. Totally serviceable for Northwest League. I was impressed looking at it, and honestly depressed a little bit in thinking, like, well, he's going to be promoted and it's still going to probably look good, and then he's going to be a Rocky. So
he's going to do just, yeah. And he has looked good, of course, in two starts in Double A, because Double A is by far the best spot for a Rockies pitcher. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's going to kind of all come crashing down next year when he gets to Triple A and then into the majors. And
maybe they'll trade him, right? That's what I tell myself.
You know, he could.
maybe he'll be traded. We'll have to see. But anyway, what's the deal with Daniel Egan, E-A-G-E-N?
Kind of like Eaton. He was a college guy who was drafted last year, and I can't remember what round, but one of those guys that folks thought, yeah, there's something here. You could develop it. And he's been amazing this year. 97 and two thirds innings. What's that?
Third round last year.
Okay. Yeah. 2.49 ERA, 1.06 whip, but 132 strikeouts in those 97 and two thirds innings with just 41 walks. The numbers are just kind of mind-blowing right at this point, and I believe he's another one that kind of went up to, like, he's up to,
yeah, he's been promoted,
Double A. That's what I thought.
Amarillo,
he's up to Double A.
He's what is it, sod noodle now?
Yes, sod poodle. No,
poodle. Well, I've been on sod noodle night, not sod poodle night, so I missed.
There you go. Did you bring your soy sauce? All right. But really, the fact that he went to Amarillo and so far is still only allowed four runs over 11 in the third innings, that's actually kind of impressive because Amarillo is one of the worst parks for a pitcher that there is. And so the fact that he's done that is pretty good. Now, for all I know, it's two road games, but, you know, still. This is impressive. This is a guy who kind of came out of a small town, or it's not small town, but a small school college. So not, he wasn't pitching against the SEC or things like that. And so that kind of drove him down a little bit. But once folks saw him on the mound, they went, yeah, there could be a little something here. And he's really done well.
All right. Well, what are we thinking here? Do you want to give Eton his only potential career hardware or Egon?
Wow. You're trying to really guilt me on this one, aren't you?
Where do you want to go? Connor's got one shot. It's this conversation right now. No, I think it's honestly, I think you can go with Daniel Egan on this. The ERA is, you know, a full point better.
Just,
the whip is 2 points. Yeah, so credit where credit is due. Connor Eaton, you have one shot next year to put up as bazonka numbers as you can in AA before it all just goes down the tube here. So let's move to the South Atlantic League. AJ Ewing is your selection from the Mets.
Oh, this is a
I had to struggle to find a guy here.
My God.
And I ended up with a White Sox of Gerald Perez, who has got 20 home runs and 10 stolen bases to his credit, a 243 average, 66 RBIs, as I mentioned before, looking for some production, and a 759 OPS. Now, if you're selected as a potential MVP, you should have a little higher OPS than, you know, 760. But Perez will be the runner-up to Ewing. So, Ben, he kind of like not really ran away with it, but he was the obvious choice here for a few reasons.
And the crazy part is this is the worst level he's been at this year. He started out the season in single A and was hitting 400. So he got promoted and spent most of the season at high A, 78 games. And now he's up in double A and he's got a 400 on base. And overall he has stolen 68 bases this year and has 9 triples. So this is a speed and contact sort of guy. And the best part is the first name that somebody brought up to me, like you listen to that stat line, the first name somebody brought up to me when they talked about him was Lance Johnson. And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting because he's playing second base. Well, now they've moved him almost full time into center field and he's leading the minor or among the minor league leaders in triples while stealing 68 bases with a good batting average. Yeah, there might be a good Lance Johnson comparison here. Like that might actually really fit. But yeah, I mean,
interesting.
This was the Sally League this year was a really tough league to find a strong hitter. And Ewing in the time he was there, I think is kind of the clear guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you there. We're going to move straight through here to the pitching side where it's Herrick Hernandez. Oh, shoot. I didn't put his team association. Dang it. Going up against former Cleveland Guardian Alex Clemmie, who's now with the Nationals. Herrick Hernandez. Let me find his team. Son of a bee sting.
You don't know his team?
No.
He's a Brave.
Oh, he's a Brave. That's why I didn't put the team, because it doesn't count. That's why. There we go.
No,
97 and a third innings pitched, 121 Ks, a 1.37 whip, a little concerning, 3-6 record. Okay, cool. And then a 370 ERA. It all went downhill after the Ks. But Herrick's still with a successful season under his belt. But Alex Clemmie, I think we kind of talked about another Cleveland pitcher who, well, I guess a couple of them tonight, but Clemmie is a former Cleveland pitcher who just had good seasons. Clemmie, I think, a tick above here. Right, Ben?
Yep. And that's
one thing to be worried
about. I mean,
one thing.
Yeah, just one thing. His walk rate is not good. But you're talking about what is Clemmie, 6'7", 6'6"? Kind of fits the Washington mold of tall guys that would look just as good as a power forward. and he's the stuff is ridiculous. Now, he does have to get that stuff eventually controlled, but we're also talking about a guy who is 2 years since he was drafted out of Rhode Island. So he wasn't like he was a high school pitcher that pitched in Georgia or Louisiana or, you know, a place like that, right, where he's getting to face big time guys every night and probably getting really good instruction. I mean, you know, they were talking about Marquise Grissom Jr. at the All-Star break, and his dad was one of his coaches in high school. You're talking about a guy who won multiple World Series championships in the major leagues is your high school coach. Like, what the heck?
Nice. Yeah.
But yeah, Clemmy has just had a heck of a year. And unfortunately has struggled since getting called up to Double-A, to Harrisburg. The walks are kind of coming back to bite him now, but that's a next year problem. Let's see what he does next year with a full season in the upper minors. I really think he's the guy. Chad brought up, I'm going to bring up, cause I know that I remember looking at that name. Kyle Carr, 1.96 ERA, 119 in a third innings, 104 strikeouts over with 47 walks, but also 23 and I have some concerns, but third round pick for the Yankees, and he's kind of in the Yankees program where he's throwing certain pitches that look really good in A ball, but this is also his second full season at high A, and that's for me is the reason why. The fact
I didn't that do he's a top five guy. For this, but I know, as we talked about before, Ben, just looking, well, I mean, just like even to say that I had narrowed it down or something with Carr, like,
yeah.
Yeah,
he didn't jump off in the same way that Clemmy's stat line did as far as dominance, and so that's why I had Clemmy listed. So
yeah, I mean, he hasn't, it's odd. I wonder if there just isn't an opportunity for promotion for him, or if he is just that far down on their depth chart, which I wouldn't think. It's not like he was some whatever post 10th round draft pick of theirs.
He was a third round pick, so yeah, you would think that they've invested something into him, and
yeah.
But
interesting. But yeah, he wasn't. And so, maybe we'll give him third place. So yeah, Clemmy will give it to him. And then again, I guess this makes for, again, this is a good name. All the names that are have some useful lines, things to watch as well once we get into the offseason. And he's not going to be in contention as far as like being put on a 40-man roster or anything like that. As we move into Double-A, there might be a couple names that can be a thing when we get into Rule 5 talk. But now we're in Double-A. Do we want to spare this? We're at 90 minutes. Like, we're going to be over 2 hours by the time we're done.
I think we need to take a break. Yeah. Let's talk. We're going to have a ton of promotions next week, or debuts next week. So let's do just Double-A, Triple-A next week. And we'll talk through the high level of major league debuts and what they're worth next week. So that'll be kind of our combo show.
Yeah. That sounds good to me.
And then, If we're really lucky, we'll get the Arizona Fall League rosters too, which would really be great. But you know, I don't know when that's going to hit, but should be soon.
All right. Well, we'll call it a night with these guys. We took care of A ball and below. Next week we're going Double A and higher. And if you've got any names, as Chad and some others had thrown at us tonight, please feel free to do so. You can find it at the Palazzo Podcast Discord. Subscribe to our show so you can get the notifications of when our various streamers, of which Ben, you and I are, when we go live with our different shows. They also, I believe, cover football here. Nothing that I'm a part of because I am pro CFL and Ben a U-Sport, which is the Canadian college sport name, like NCAA. U-Sport, they had a record set on Saturday for longest field goal in the I forget who it was that Waterloo, which is the university I'm at, what Waterloo kicker set the longest field goal record. How many yards do you think it was?
Oh, 70.
Oh, come on. It was 57. He said,
oh,
it
seriously?
He,
okay.
Yeah. A true freshman yep, set the record to tie the game with zero left on the clock. And then he won.
That's
it
impressive.
Naturally in overtime. Yeah. So Waterloo, who I was at their home opener against, what was it, Ottawa, Gigi's, they got a little bit of stomped on them, or a little stomped on them. They went to Toronto and took out, I guess, what must have been U of T they played, and won. So they're now 1-1 for anyone who cares about getting a little bit of U Sport at the end of this.
you're bringing up college, and that's why I thought, because I know that there's some ridiculous, like some
crazy things with wins and Well, unfortunately, not in Canada. Football,
so
we still have that bigger ball in the three downs. Okay, so it's fast. But anyway, all right. On behalf of the whole Plaza Podcast team, 2 L's, 2 Z's, we thank you. Love, peace, hair grease, everybody. Free Wander Franco. What, Ben?
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects.